A reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 11, verses 42 to 46. The Lord said, "Woe to you Pharisees! You pay tithes of mint and of rue, and of every garden herb, but you pay no attention to judgment and to love for God. These you should have done without overlooking the others. Woe to you Pharisees! You love the seat of honor in synagogues and greetings in marketplaces. Woe to you! You are like unseen graves over which people unknowingly walk." Then one of the scholars of the law said to Jesus in reply, "Teacher, by saying this, you are insulting us too." And he said, "Woe also to you, scholars of the law! You impose on people burdens hard to carry, but you yourselves do not lift one finger to touch them." The Gospel of the Lord. I heard recently that regular church attendance in Europe is down to about 10%, especially in Catholic churches. Think of those cathedrals in Rome and England and Ireland. Are they no more than stops on the sightseeing tours? Here in America, what keeps the numbers up are the large numbers of Latinos. About 40% of our church right now, regular church attendance, is by Latinos. Many are poor, many are immigrants. Much like the American Catholic Church was here in the first part of the 20th century, many of the people who attended church then were from Catholic countries, too. We're concerned about the drop in church attendance. People disillusioned by our church, maybe, or those who have other things to do in their busy lives. The Pharisees also worried about the decline of the faithful and keeping an authentic practice of religion. They were people who did more than their share of religious practices in a less than religious environment. After all, Israel was conquered by pagans, and they were everywhere. There were the influences of traders passing through, because Israel, especially up in Galilee, was a major trade route. And so there was a great mixture of other cultures and religions, and so the influence of outsiders. In addition, there were Jews and pagans marrying. There was intermarriage. And so the religion was under threat. Even for believers, the threat was the oppression of Romans, and therefore the questions people had about God. If God were or were not truly concerned about them, where was God in their need? Why wasn't God rescuing them? And so people tended to drift away. People worn out by life, too, had questions like, how could God let this happen to them again in their history? You could see why they would be disillusioned and less inclined to practice their faith. That would be the temptation anyway. The Pharisees wanted to preserve what was good in their faith, what sustained and had sustained the people in their history, their slavery in Egypt, their 40-year trek across the desert, the building up of their nation, and then, in its destruction, what kept them faithful while they were in exile in Babylon. The destruction of their country more than once, one catastrophe after another, and now they had the presence of the Romans. Hardships like that can test a person and a nation's faith, and it can be an occasion for even stronger faith for some, but there's no guarantee that under trial faith will become stronger. Some people under testing, severe testing, despair. The Pharisees were devout people who saw their traditions and their beliefs tested by their times, its trials, its temptations, as we do. And so they applied their time and energy to keeping the faith as best they could. They tended to come from a more comfortable class of people, and so they had more time to study, reflect on their religious laws, and keep them with diligence and even over-enthusiasm. They could get carried away in their zeal, not only emphasizing the important and central teachings of Judaism, but also making much of what were lesser rules and regulations, even stressing things that were not part of the original faith. You can see what the traps were for such zealous practitioners. They got carried away in their zeal. They could think that they were earning God's favor by their observances. God was rewarding them for their good practices, their stringent faith. They could fall into the trap of looking down on those who were illiterate and so desperately poor that they didn't know all the rules and observances. And even if they did, they'd have no time and space to observe them, since they were so busy scraping out a living, trying to feed their families. Their issue was survival, not so much about tithing, mint, and rue. In many ways, Jesus and the Pharisees had similar goals. Not only the survival of the faith, but that it would thrive and nourish people's lives. Some Pharisees, though, lost their focus. But to be fair, not all. Some Pharisees kept minute observances, judged others who didn't, and so obscured the real object of their faith. Jesus and the Pharisees should have been close allies. Weren't they both concerned about people's daily struggle and their faith in God? Instead, because of the Pharisees' tendency to excess and to judgment, Jesus warns the Pharisees to pay attention to God's judgment, on their misdirected zeal, their emphasis on superfluous practices. And he calls them to true religious observance, to love of God, he says, which we've heard Jesus say, also includes love of neighbor. The Pharisees may be no more, but Pharisaism is alive and well. It is when religious people, even very religious people, place so much emphasis on lesser practices and customs. For example, when we judge the newcomers' languages and customs as somehow not as authentic as our religious practices. When we forget that poor people don't always have time to volunteer at the church, and so we judge them. When we look at people at church who don't dress according to our code of what is proper attire, maybe because they can't afford to. When we dismiss immigrants' pious behavior and customs as silly or superstitious or even ignorant. When we choose to go to a church further away than our nearby and struggling parish so we can be with our kind of people. Then we may be more like the Pharisees and less like Jesus, who warns us today about God's judgment and calls us to focus more on loving God and neighbor unconditionally.